Good morning. It's so wonderful to be here this morning, and it's not the first time for me and my family, the whole family, let a benefit concert here, I think sometime in November, I believe. And we were so blessed and encouraged by the amount of support the church community from here just provided for us. And so we have a special bonding here, just special connection. And all credit to the Lord Jesus Christ. All credit goes to the Spirit that connects us, that brings us together, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. My daughters, at least three of them, the older three daughters, they've been leading worship here occasionally. And in fact, Olivia said they will be here again next week. So, and as Pastor Tom said, some of them are doing something, and Grace is leaving for Washington, D.C. To lead prayer time and worship time at the David's Tent. How many of you are familiar with David's Tent? Oh, okay, some of you. That's great. It's a 24 hours nonstop prayer and worship time, and that's all they do by the volunteers. And Jason Hershey, Glennon, Helen's son, is the one who sort of the orchestrated and founded that place out there. And for many years now, that's been going on. So it's amazing ministry, and pray for the nation and pray for the nations for God's grace and God for revival. It's amazing. And in doing so, the God Spirit is moving in many ways. Leaders are convicted, and people, ordinary people, and influential people, they are convicted. People, we were there a couple of Sundays ago. That's in November, I think. As our small group, we went down there to do about 2 hour slot of worship time, and people just came as they walked by. They looked around and said, "What is that?" They come in and just worship and then go. A wonderful place. So if you have time, if you want to do something different to witness or to just, you know, do something different. Don't have to be a singer, or don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to preach there. You can just go there and just pray. And you're not required to minister to anybody, you're just there to pray. It's a great, great opportunity to worship there. Pastor Tom shared with me that the church heard a series on the topic Holy Spirit, and it would be good to have a sort of concluding sermon today. So as I was praying about what to preach this morning, it's been a while since I preached. Last time I preached was in Red Run out there, a small church out there. That was last year. So lately I haven't been preaching as much. But when I get the opportunity to preach, it just seems like just exciting to study and to dwell in the Word of God and just pray. And since the topic was pretty straightforward, Holy Spirit, I said, "Holy Spirit, what should we talk about?" And I was inspired to share some stories and how the Holy Spirit works and how it started in my life and how I see things. And it would be good to just look into what the activities of the Holy Spirit look like. And let's just ponder on that question a little bit and see, okay, have I seen any activities of the Holy Spirit lately in me, through me, or around me? And what does that look like? I don't know how Pastor Tom preaches. I haven't seen him preach. But if I say that the Lord wants you to worship Him day and night and pray without ceasing, Is that the Spirit inspiring you to preach like that? Maybe. Some people do preach like that. In fact, I listen to preaching like that all the time, pounding the pulpit. Oh, my goodness, I tell you, the voice just exploded. Who needs a microphone? The Holy Spirit just exploding and just allowed my powerful, powerful sermon came through that way. And powerful, powerful sermon came softly, gently, inspiring. You know, the song that we sang towards the end, just reflective, very soothing Holy Spirit song. Powerful. Elijah was also depressed and also burned out. And said, Lord, just let me die. I'm the only one left. He was out there hiding from Jezebel. And, you know, all the prophets have been killed. And where is the Spirit? Where is Lord? What am I doing here? And this little island out there, asking for the Lord to speak. Come, speak. The storm came, the lightning came, the thunder came, and all that. I said, surely God comes in the thunder, uprooting all the trees and all this loud sounds. But the voice of God was not in there, the Bible says. After all that drama, after all that excitement, there was a gentle breeze. And there in that quietness, in that gentleness, Elijah heard the voice of God. And the voice of God said, go. So what does the activities of the Holy Spirit look like to you? When we see a church dancing and having just blasting out loud music and people dancing and waving flags and speaking in tongues, do you think that is what it looks like, the activities and the work of the Holy Spirit in and around the church and the life of the church? When a high church read the liturgy, you know, I've been to one of those Presbyterian church out of Westminster Presbyterian Church. We worshiped there one time. Beautiful liturgy. Read through the whole worship time. Powerfully written. Beautiful, powerful choir music just coming out beautifully. And the pastor preached wonderful, well-prepared sermon. It really just like a very nice, fine dining kind of a, you know, word of God served to you. It just 10-course meal. Just wow. You know, just was that the work of the Holy Spirit? And was that the activity of the Spirit? Is that what it looks like? Then a young man stands up before the service starts and tells a story, and full of energy and full of this excitement, voices are just about way up there, and the scale of 1 to 10 is almost like hitting 10. With so much passion, telling a story, how the Lord is working in his life. Is that what it looks like? Another young person comes up, shy, timid, not sure how to share, and just so nervous about telling the story of how the Lord's been working in her life. The answer is yes to all, I believe. Yes. The enemy wants us to create a sense of dissension, a sense of just how one group is the other, how certain expressions are more spiritual and spirit-like, and the others is more emotional and worldly-like. Dissension is the goal of the enemy in the whole believer's community. But the Spirit manifests in many different ways, sometimes in a very soft, gentle way, calm, soothing, and very well-prepared, fine dining style. Sometimes it's very much just a 4th of July picnic style, where it is just hot dogs and just, you know, everybody comes in shorts. And sometimes it's like a beach party, you know, almost half naked up there, you know, everybody having fun in the sun. But it's all about connecting, all about fellowship, that we get to know each other. People are comfortable. Yeah? Spirit is all about bringing together, bringing us together. But you see in the story here, when the revival broke through and the Holy Spirit came in the second chapter of Acts, and the disciples and the believers began to teach and tell the stories and their testimonies and pray and preach, the Gentiles heard the gospel and they received the Holy Spirit. They were saved. The believers heard that their one of their leaders, prominent leaders, Simon, Peter, went and dined, ate with the uncircumcised, unclean Gentiles. No. That is not our Mennonite custom. We don't do that. That is not our Jewish custom. You know, we don't do that. Did Peter do that? We heard about it. Did Peter preach to them? People are accepting all this and Holy Spirit coming. What's going on? If there was a Jerusalem Post, the headline probably was, "Something broke through. And the Gentiles are now receiving the Holy Spirit. Peter has something to do with his sermon," or something like that. A big headline news. It was huge in the community and in the history of church. That is no longer God is just limited to the Jews, the Christians, and the circumcised, but to the uncircumcised Gentiles. There was a breakthrough. It was a huge story. And believers could not believe what they were hearing. They were hearing stories from here, retold stories from here, and they put the stories together, but they wanted to know more, which is a good thing. When we begin to form our own stories and, you know, begin to form our own opinions and assumptions based on the retold stories and fragmented stories that floats around without really hearing from the first source, you see what's happening in our society lately? Have you heard the news? It seems somewhat like that when reputable, you know, news organizations or very powerful, respectable leaders jump in the bandwagon and make conclusions and assumptions and give the peace of their mind and later realize that it's all a hoax. I should have gone to the source, the first source first. Did it again. Now, that's what the enemy wanted the people to do in this first Jerusalem breakthrough. The people of God didn't just settle on that story. They went to Peter. In the story, they questioned, the Bible says. They questioned Peter and asked him and said, "You ate with those sinners, those uncircumcised Gentiles? You should know better." That kind of a, you know, little bit of that kind of a idea was floating in that room there. The scripture said Peter told the story from the beginning, the whole story. It is important to first go to the source, the first source. And it is important to first listen to the whole story and see what the whole story is telling than the bits of stories that we've been hearing. To connect this pulpit pounding and soft talking and loud voice out there dancing around, and the testimony kind of a believers around us, to connect that, how all that are more like pockets of stories. We don't know the real stories. Why the preacher was pounding the pulpit and preaching like that? Why the young man was up there sharing the story like that? Why the young lady was soft and gentle? Why the church was so loud music and banging all these big instruments? Or why the children were dancing up and down the aisle with the flag? We only know bits of the story that were retold or read somewhere else, but the real story, the bottom line, is to ask the question, what does the activity of the Holy Spirit look like? And this kind of behavior amongst the God's people, what is propelling that kind of action? So here, the believers came and asked Peter. Peter told a story. You see, I was praying. Oh, that's so important. Where did it all begin? And then I went into trance. Trance is somewhat like you just, you know, go. It's not really unconscious, but it's more like you are in a whole different realm, more of a spiritual realm, where you connect with the whole different wave, spiritual wave. And you connect with this God's presence. And then he said, I saw a vision. And in that vision, I saw a huge sheet loaded with this four-footed animals and reptiles and unclean animals. It was lowered down right in front of me. It came down from heaven, not from some dumpster out there in Honeybrook. It came from heaven. Dirty animals coming down from heaven. How come dirty animals live in heaven? They were junk. They were condemned. They were unclean. We don't associate with that kind of stuff. They're not heavenly. They're a dumpster thing. It came down from heaven. Showed to me. And the voice. This guy now hearing voices? Is he okay? Mentally? Chemically balanced? No, they didn't ask such questions. Maybe, you know, we might ask such questions, but they didn't ask those questions to Peter. I heard voice, and the voice told me, rise, Peter. Rise, kill and eat. Oh, no. These are dirty things, dirty animals, no impures, no. And the voice said it again. What God has made pure, no human should call it impure. It's clean. It came from heaven. Oh, that changed the whole perspective of how Peter all along assumed and practiced. Now, it's not just limited to just group of people. It is all about our own personal assumptions and perceptions and own principles that we have created to make our own faith community and our faith practices comfortable. A level of comfort is maintained in our own faith journey by the stories we love to hear and heard, and by those rules and principles that we have created as a fence and cushions to keep it comfortable and keep the peace. That comfort level was challenged. That was rocked. Peter said, no, that is not something I can handle. But the Spirit said, the question we must ask is, how did Peter recognize
the voice, that it is the voice of God, the Spirit of God speaking in his heart, in his mind, telling him something he never imagined on his own to do. How? It is only logical for us to conclude that whenever we love somebody and when we are in relationship with anyone that are so close to each other, we text each other all the time. We Marco Polo, we Messenger chat, we all this different kind of a social media we have there. We do that constantly so that we connect, we tell stories, and we recognize their voices. We call. These days, of course, we only text most of the time, but we call, we talk. And not only that, we want to hear their voices, especially mom and dad. Oh, you know, we want to hear our voices, our daughter's voice when they're gone out there and, you know, doing something. We want to make sure that they're okay. It sounds like overprotective, but, you know, it's that nature of, you know, wanting to know, wanting to hear the voices. They're gone for a couple of days out there, you know. Oh, want to hear the voices, connect. It is through prayer that Peter was connecting on a constant basis that he knew exactly that voice was not some enemy telling him what to do, but it was the voice of God. The voice of God, even though it almost seemed like contradicting to what Peter believed, but it was overriding what Peter assumed, and Peter knew it was the Word of God, the voice of God, talking to him, speaking to him, to do something crazy. Well, you know, the believers probably came down to you, are you stupid? What were you thinking? No, I may be crazy, but I'm not stupid. That's what Peter was saying, right? Now, here's my story. Listen to this. It sounds crazy, isn't it? It is crazy. It was crazy. That was a crazy vision. It was a crazy thing for me to do. But you see, listen to me. Three people showed up at the door. They stood there. They were sent to my house, strangers. And then the six more people that were with me, we went because a voice told me that I should go with them to the stranger's house. And the voice told me not to doubt, not to hesitate. See the activity of the Holy Spirit, how it is working from within to carry out God's plan. And so Peter and his team went along to the stranger's house. And the stranger said, an angel appeared to me and told me that I should send for Simon Peter, and he will come, and when he comes and shares his gospel, you will receive. You'll be saved. And so Peter went and he started preaching. And when they started preaching, Peter said, the Holy Spirit came and filled that person's and the family now, and they were saved. The story ends in saying, now, when they heard, let me just read what the scripture says. It is, when they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. They had nothing to say. Their criticism went away. Questioning went away. There was a breakthrough. Above all, the activity of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled that very moment. And what is that? The sole activity of the Holy Spirit is to bring us together. That is charismatic, that is gentle, soft singing group, that the high church liturgical group, all type of worship, all kinds of Christians, some are emotional, some are not that emotional. Holy Spirit is still working in all these different facets, a spectrum of ministries and worship. And the Holy Spirit activity is to bring us together, unite us. But the enemy is working very hard in such a way, it starts with a question, corner, and try to bring about dissension. And then says, you know, that church, that's just not Spirit-filled. You want to know what a Spirit-filled church looks like? Come to our church. That person definitely, I don't know what's up with that person. That sounds a little crazy. No, I don't think that's how the Spirit should work. I have my own design how the Spirit should work. Now think about it. Who is controlling, who is designing how the spiritual and spirit activity should look like? That is the work of the enemy. And we should be reminded that the Spirit works in all levels of emotions and all levels of excitements. The key is that we should never leave room and allow the outside fragmented stories from third sources and not from the first source to convince and nurture our own assumptions and perceptions and form our own boundaries so that our comfortable, peaceful faith journey will continue as we always wanted to. Here, the journey took a whole different turn. And from now on, the Gentiles are receiving, there was a revival. That is the activity of the Holy Spirit, not Peter's, not the disciples. They're allowing, listening to the voice through prayer, not through some, you know, reading some theories or some myth, through prayer. Let me read a scripture here and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 first. And verse 14 through 18. This is the work of the Spirit, for He Himself is our peace. Ephesians 2, 14 through 18. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. That is what the Holy Spirit does through Jesus our Lord, bring us together. So anytime we have a sense and an urge to really come to our own opinions and assumptions and conclusion, think about what the Holy Spirit is saying, the voice, that the whole ultimate goal and mission for our Lord Jesus Christ is to bring the body together. If there are two, to be one in Christ through one Spirit. So how did Peter know that it was the activity of the Holy Spirit, especially when he was challenged, when his comfort level was challenged? We know now that it was because he had a constant relationship with the Father. Through prayer, he recognized the voice. Not every one of us might see this vision like Peter did, but I believe that Holy Spirit is all around us like the air we breathe, and that Holy Spirit is always communicating, convicting, leading, because that's what the Scripture says, regenerating, inspiring, comforting, empowering. These are all scriptural. This is all biblical. And it's willing to show us as much as we're ready and able to accept it. Holy Spirit is active all the time. It does take some time to really listen, because Holy Spirit might be speaking like he did in that gentle breeze to Elijah. Holy Spirit might speak to us when we are in a very uncomfortable level, that get up, rise, kill and eat, go, do not hesitate, I'm with you, preach. And we'll see the dramatic things, we'll see the extreme things happen, things change. We must ask the question, what comes first? Our actions that are good and sometimes that are kind of a drastic? Or is it the Holy Spirit working within us that propels our action? And it might be so convincing to think that, oh, there's so many good people out there doing good works. Is that the work of the Holy Spirit? Do they know that God would never contradict any actions with his character? So yes, either there is this believer or non-believer, Holy Spirit is present for everyone, and Holy Spirit is constantly working on everybody's life. But yes, the believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit, surrendered with the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, would have that clear direction and give credit to Holy Spirit when we see things and when we hear things that would not contradict with God's character. So let's keep in mind that it is the Holy Spirit for believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit that propels within us, and then the action. Sometimes we don't even realize that our action is unconsciously propelled by the Holy Spirit within us. And that is more like a confidence level, a competent level in our own spirituality, in the walk of life. So if you think about what competency level do we have, we are so competent that we don't even know that we are always being propelled by the Holy Spirit, and our actions are a result of the Holy Spirit. When I was 16 and 17, let me just tell me a little bit of my story and then I will finish it. When I was 16 and going on 17, you know, just like the Sound of Music, you know, 16, so, you know, 17. A very good age time, you know, that's a good age. You know, any 16, 17 here, very good age, you know. Just wanting to know what's next, what's going on, what's going to happen. My mother, she married when she was 18. My mother was in her late 30s, I guess. And she had a prayer meeting with her ladies in her neighborhood. And that afternoon, I heard him crying. I says, why are they crying? They cried and they cried and cried, and they went on and on, and I told my friends in the neighborhood, they're crying. What's going on? My father came from work. He was working in a railway company at 4 o'clock, and when my father came, my mother went to my father, called my father over and says, and we lived in a one-bedroom efficiency apartment, kind of called railway quarter. You call it quarter, just one bedroom. And mom confessed. Mom confessed to my dad that she was unfaithful. Oh, that just broke my dad, and he just cried. That was the activity of the Holy Spirit right there. Came out through prayer, not through some, you know, people telling her what to do or teaching. It was through prayer meeting. Somehow got convicted. And then her friends, when their husbands came to work, called for the husband and then confessed that I was unfaithful. So it went on. The evening came, and we're, they're still praying and crying. Our friends and young people came around, and we stood there. When they're crying and confessing, we got convicted. And then we were just, we should pray too. So we were just kneeling and praying, and just confess. I'm a nominal Christian, and just praying. I mean, that was in India, by the way, not here, in India. And then the young girl came, or in a neighborhood, as she was praying, this is the first time in my life I saw her just go flat. And maybe that was the trance. And then she went like this, and she started speaking. Where did she learn to do that? We're in a little village out there. We never had a TV. We never had anything. We never saw anybody do like that. Here she was like that and speaking. And then said, the Lord says, and she called one of the ladies and said, the Lord says that you have something to share with your husband. Well, she was the younger one of the ladies there. She called for her husband. Her husband in our neighborhood was always very stern. I was always afraid of him. He didn't say much, very muscular, stern, tough kind of guy. He came. He never went to church. He never came to church. And our little village out there, where about 25 Christian Nagas lived there, his wife confessed that she was unfaithful to him. And she, this young girl, even pointed that, you need to confess to the married man you were unfaithful with. This young girl, she's 17, How did she do that? So she sent for this married man that she was having an affair with. He came and he's shaking his head. This is impossible. Who would know? No one in this world knows about this. It has to be God. And he cried. Revival broke out. This man were crying in the corner. This man especially, I have never seen this tough man cry. He went like this. His nose were flowing. And he said, just groaning, went on and on. Church leaders, the deacons, they all came. We all prayed. Midnight. Hindus who lived around us came over. They surround the house and were talking and looking at us. What happened? And some of them said, their Christian God came down from heaven and visited them. That was the work of the Holy Spirit, the activity of the Spirit. It may not happen in a dramatic fashion like that all the time, but it happened for me. I became a born-again Christian. The next day we went to the church and we prayed, and young people, and the revival went on. Every night we prayed and sang, and the revival went on for the whole year. But I was not satisfied. I said, I don't see anything. My friends are saying, I see this, I see that. I see this skinny young man out there mocking at me and showing me the three cross and says, hey, which one is Jesus? I remember clearly, we were sitting on the second row of the pews like that, praying. He jumped out and was crawling that way. We didn't know what was happening. And then when he came to consciousness, I asked him, what happened? Oh, the skinny man stood there and was tempting me and testing me, saying, which one is Jesus? I said, you, Satan, get out of here. I know who Jesus is. And he chased him out, and he stood way out there behind a tree and mocking me. Goosebumps came on me, and I said, what is going on? I want to see something like that. You know what? Holy Spirit can do crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. And if something crazy happens, confirm that. And you're not alone. Way back from the Peter's time, even today, crazy things are happening. And Holy Spirit is changing lives. bringing about amazing things in various settings and in various situations. I asked the Lord, help me. I want to see. I never saw something like that. Then we went to pray for our family. We're praying. And this friend says, there are a bunch of little boys and girls in that corner there, just sitting there. They almost look like naked. And they are just laughing and mocking. And the Lord says that those spirits are not going to leave this house until you confess. I can remember vividly because I'm standing there praying with my goosebumps. And I was 17. Now it is summertime. I was born in July. One day, a man of God came over and prayed for me. And he says, son, do not doubt the Holy Spirit. You've been given the gift. On one hand, I see the Bible. On the other hand, I see the hymn book. Go and preach and sing. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit to do His work. I felt an impetus in me, taking over, empowered to just be a different person. And I believe that was the feeling of the Holy Spirit experience. Have I been faithful all these years? I must confess, no. But the Holy Spirit was and is always faithful, convicting me, leading me, empowering me. We, the believers, the follower of Jesus Christ, are different in a sense that we have the Holy Spirit convicting, regenerating, purifying, empowering, speaking to us and guiding us, propelling, navigating. So just like the believers who went to Peter and wanted to know the whole story, it is important for us to go to the source. And some of you might have thought, oh, who is Toshi? That sounds like Japanese name. It is Japanese name. Somebody says he's from India. But, oh, I don't know, some of you who never saw me or never heard, might have been thinking about certain things, you're not alone. You know, a lot of people, when they meet me, they say, Japanese greetings, you know? They greet me in Japanese. And I said, oh, I'm not Japanese. I'm from India. No, you're not. I said, I am. He says, no, you don't look like one. That's what I get all the time. And I'm sure I'll get that until I die. You know, for some reason, people think I'm Japanese because my name is Toshi, and probably I look like Japanese. But now, I deliver Amish-made furniture. So just last year, I started this business selling Amish-made items. And when I delivered them, I can see the look, you know, in their eyes. Because you ever just Amish-made. and then these people ask me, are you Amish? and I say, no, I'm a Mennonite. They just laugh. Oh, yeah, all right. I'm serious. I'm a Mennonite. Nah. You know, they just think, seriously, I know. Do you make those? You know. Well, you know, no, I'm not Amish. I'm a Mennonite. I can prove you. And I'll pull out my credential card and I say, see, I'm a Mennonite ordained preacher. Then they will ask me, so you don't make those, do you? It says, no, I don't. No, Amish make them. And I said, so what do you do? And I said, well, you know, I help design some of those and we work together. And so that qualifies as, you know, collaborative. And we have 16 Amish craftsmen that make for us. Oh, okay. That satisfies them. Making sure that it's not made in China, you know. So that's a true story. You know, I encountered that all the time. And just yesterday, I had a good story there too. So it is just amazing how things open up when you go to the source and ask the question and learn the truth. It will set you free. Blast through and break through the assumptions. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. So let's allow the Spirit. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, if the Holy Spirit wants us to be a little crazy, let's allow that to happen. And if the Holy Spirit wants us to be a little more gentle, let's do that. But never leave room to settle on retold stories, fragmented stories, because at the end, we might find out that they were just a bunch of hoax. The real story lies when you go to the truth, and the truth shall set us free. And the truth, the whole ultimate goal is to bring us together. And it will never contradict with God's character. Blessings.